Welcome back to Introduction to Active Directory. We're going to jump right into our first actual technical module regarding Active Directory domain services and dive into some depth. Active Directory domain services, we're going to start with an overview. We're going to go into the two essentially halves of Active Directory domain services, the physical structure and the logical structure, or really the technology pieces. The overview is going to cover these topics. It's almost not Active Directory Domain Services. It's more an overview of what it provides, the different functionalities that this software provides for and what they are in terms of overall technology. Not so much specific yet. The first detail is a technical detail. The protocol used to access Active Directory, Lightweight Directory Access Protocol, or LDAP, based on the X500 standard, and TCP/IP, it's a client-server piece of software that lets the clients, workstations, other servers, access domain controllers, which we're going to learn about in a little while, and the technologies provided by Active Directory Domain Services. We start off with authentication and what it is. Authentication is the process of verifying a user's identity on a network. A good analogy, a passport. A driver's license. I want to make sure you are who you say you are. A passport is exactly that. It's a way for me to say, who are you? You can tell me all you want, but that passport provides me with proof. Two components, an interactive logon, which allows me to log on to the computer in front of me, and a network authentication, which grants access to network resources. Once you've been authenticated, the next step is authorization. Authentication is who you are. Authorization is what you can do. The process of verifying that an authenticated user has permission to perform an action. Security principles are issued security identifiers when the account is created. In the case of Windows and Active Directory, a SID is the term you'll use or see used most frequently. User accounts are issued security tokens during authentication that include the user's SID and related group SIDs. I'm going to get a token that just says, this is who I am, these are the groups I belong to. Shared resources on a network include access control lists that define who can access the resource. We're going to branch off here in just a moment and talk a little bit more about access control lists. And then the security token that I've been issued, which has my SID and the SIDs of my groups in it, is compared against the access control list of that resource. In this case, it's called a discretionary access control list. If my SID is on that list, I'm given permission to do whatever it is I've been granted on that access control list. Some further notes on this one, because I've mentioned discretionary access control lists, I feel I should also mention system access control lists, or SACLs, or SACLs as we call them. A discretionary access control list here gives us or defines the permissions we have to do things with objects, write, read, change. A system access control list keeps track of what events will trigger an audit by a given security principle. So while, say, a share is going to have my user account attached to it by SID, and that SID is going to be also attached to my token, that token is going to be compared to that folder, that share. The SIDs match, I'll be able to do whatever to that folder that I'm granted via that access. That folder also is going to have a system access control list that may also have my SID on it, my identifier, that says that anything I do to that folder is audited. If I delete something, if I change something, just the fact that I open that folder, and in fact, some cases, if I'm not allowed to open that folder. Why? Given all this information, because technically it does exist in any computer. There are access control lists, there are SIDs, there are system access control lists and discretionary access control lists on a computer just sitting on your desk. It all exists, that technology does. So why Active Directory Domain Services? What benefits does it provide? Well, it gives us a centralized directory. Instead of having to worry about giving five users all individual access to five computers on my small home or small office network, Active Directory lets me create those five accounts in one place. I don't have to worry about creating them on every computer that they need access to. Single sign-on access, that's the benefit given those five accounts. Those five computers get connected to my Active Directory domain. I don't need to go to each computer individually, worry about if my password has changed, worry about if my usernames match. I can log into any of those computers anywhere, anytime. Integrated security, scalability. This can be done at great scale. After the introduction of Active Directory in Windows 2000, the scalability of Active Directory, and in this case, Active Directory Domain Services, has ballooned to the point that it is limited only by the hardware provided for your domain controllers. And a common management interface, I briefly touched on this earlier. This allows for a person or a series of people to manage all the components of Active Directory Domain Services in a single location or from various locations, but always using the same interface. No one's gonna have to worry about not knowing what's going on or what someone else has done or what tools are being used. It centralizes this network management by providing a single location instead of tools for managing user and group accounts. Now, single location is a little tricky in this instance because a single location may not be a single geographic location, as they may not mean a single geographic location. We're going to talk more about that. A single location for assigning access to shared network resources. Directory service for ADDS enabled applications. So it's a way for Exchange to get information about users that it wouldn't normally have. Options for configuring security policies that apply to all users and computers. This is called group policy. We're not going to cover it to a real great extent in this course. It's more just an overview of Active Directory and its components. But group policy is a very powerful tool at our disposal once we've decided to use Active Directory Domain Services. Group policies to manage user desktops and security settings. This again is the same as the one above it. Options for configuring security policies. It's centralized management of a number of security and application-based options. The requirements for installing. I decided to put some quick overview of requirements in here because we are in fact going to install and I want to make sure that people have the prerequisites they would need. Requirements for installing TCP/IP. Configure appropriate TCP/IP and DNS server addresses. This is the chosen network mechanism for Active Directory Domain Services. Credentials to install a new Forest, and again, we'll talk about Forest in a little while, you need to be a local administrator on the server. You've got your server set up, it's installed, it's running. If you're not a local administrator, you can't actually make that server into what's called a domain controller. To install an additional domain controller, which is not a topic we're gonna cover in any great length here today, you need to be a member of the domain admins group in an existing domain. Most importantly on this slide, however, is our last one, domain name system infrastructure. Verify that a DNS infrastructure is in place. When you install ADDS, you can include DNS server installation if it's needed. It's all part of the same interface, which is terrific. When you create a new domain, a DNS delegation is created automatically. Those details we're not going to go into great depth on. Again, this is more technically deep than we need to cover. Just the fact that you have to have DNS in place, it has to be functioning. Your servers have to be able to communicate and find each other, and your clients have to be able to find those servers via DNS prior to the installation of Active Directory Domain Services. A quick overview of the two and how they interact. ADDS requires an infrastructure, which we just talked about. ADDS domain names must be DNS domain names, and that is to say fully qualified domain names. ADDS domain controller records must be registered in DNS to enable other domain controllers and client computers to locate them. This is an automatic process. Given that your DNS infrastructure is installed and functioning correctly, those records, called SRV records, will be created automatically in DNS for other domain controllers and client computers to find and use. DNS zones can be stored in ADDS as Active Directory integrated zones. This is again a slightly more advanced technological term or option. It has some nice advantages in that you can use Active Directory as a replication mechanism for DNS and as a security boundary for DNS if you're using Active Directory to store your DNS records in. That, again, is a topic for another day that we'll be posting up at some point in the future. Component overview, there's a lot on this slide. We're going to cover each of these pieces individually in the next couple of slides. Physical data components, domain controllers, global catalog servers, and the data store are really the three big, important, I'd say crucial in this case, required physical components to Active Directory domain services. Without any one of those three, it doesn't really function. We also have read-only domain controllers as a physical option, a component option for ADDS. What this allows for is essentially a copy of your domain to be placed in, for example, a branch office, and allowing clients, users, computers to access that directory information, potentially authenticate against that directory information, but without the risk of it being compromised by an intruder or an outside attack. We're not going to cover read-only domain controllers any further beyond this slide in this course. They're just a more advanced topic than we're going to cover. Logical components are the more complicated piece of Active Directory domain services. Partitions, schema, domains, trees, forests, sites, and OUs are all logical pieces of Active Directory domain services. We're going to start at the top. We're going to work our way down through those pieces as we can. They're not necessarily all hierarchical, but some of them are. Our second lesson, we're going to jump into those physical components we saw on the left side of that first column. Domain controllers, global catalog servers, and the data store, again, being the big three physical components to Active Directory domain services. And then sites and replication being, I'm trying to think of the best way to explain it, maybe expansions on the physical components of Active Directory. And replication sort of a piece that ties those physical components together. In itself, it's not necessarily a physical component. Domain controllers are the foundation. This is the starting point. This is what you're going to create first in Active Directory Domain Services if you've never done it, installed it, used it before. A domain controller, or DC, as I'll probably relate to the or reference them later, is a server with the ADDS role installed that has specifically been promoted to a domain controller. You create domain controllers. It hosts a copy of the ADDS directory store, or data store, which is a physical component and we will talk about in more detail later. It provides authentication and authorization services. It's going to keep track of who you are. It's going to let you authenticate to it so that you can prove who you are. And it's going to maintain some of the things that you have access to and what you can do against those objects. They replicate updates to other domain controllers in the domain and the forest. We're going to talk about that when we get to the replication slide here in just a couple of minutes. And they allow administrative access to manage user accounts and network resources in a central location. Windows Server 2008 and later support those read-only domain controllers we talked about earlier. We're not going to cover that in any more depth. Our next physical component, global catalog servers. Global catalog servers are domain controllers that also store a copy of the global catalog. And what the global catalog is it is a copy of all the objects in Active Directory and a subset of the attributes of those objects. Now, where this gets to be specific and where a global catalog is different than a domain controller is in this first line, this first option, contains a copy of all ADDS objects in a forest. We're going to cover forests in just a minute so that you'll learn a little bit more about why a global catalog is different than a domain controller. Improves efficiency of object searches by avoiding unnecessary referrals to domain controllers. Again, this is one of those situations where we have to reference technology to explain technology that we haven't necessarily learned about yet. We're going to learn about forests, domains, and trust in a few minutes. Global catalog servers are also required for users to log on to a domain. Again, we'll cover that as we get into domains, forests, and trees. The ADDS data store is where all this information is physically kept on a server. Actually, in my opinion, kind of one of the more overlooked aspects of Active Directory domain services. A lot of people install ADDS, they configure it, they set up their users, their computers, their printers, their resources. They manage well all the tools with not a lot of thought to the data store itself, the database that all this information is kept in and where it's stored. Again, we're not going to go into too much technical depth. We could spend hours and hours just on this one topic. It does consist of a single file, ntds.dit or ntds.dit, stored by default in the system root ntds folder on all domain controllers. This is a configurable option, as we'll see in a little while, and is accessible only through the domain controller processes and protocols. There is a slight caveat to that bit of information. I might demonstrate it in a little while. I'll have to decide if that's a worthwhile demonstration. ADDS replication is the process of making sure that database is the same across all of your domain controllers. ADDS replication copies all updates of the ADDS database to all other domain controllers in a domain or forest. We want to make sure if we've changed a password, if we've removed a user account, if we've added a user account, that those changes exist across our entire domain infrastructure so that those users can or can't authenticate depending on if we've removed or added them. And their passwords have been updated if it's been changed in the last couple of minutes. We don't want them to change their password, log off, try and log back on, and have it fail because they're trying to get to a different domain controller than originally the change was made on. Ensures that they have the same information. Uses a multi-master replication model. What this does is ensures that there's no single point of failure. There's no single authoritative source for that information. This is a complicated technological concept because without a single authoritative source, how do you know where those changes come from? They are tracked within ADDS. We're not going to go into the technical details of how, but it does keep track of basically who was last. What was the last change made that's actually an official change that should be recorded across all of these databases in all of these domain controllers? And can be managed by creating ADDS sites, which we're going to talk about in a couple of minutes. And in this case, how they relate specifically to replication. The replication topology is created automatically as new domain controllers are added to the domain. However, it can be modified using sites. What are sites? An ADDS site is used to represent a network segment where all domain controllers are connected by a fast and reliable network connection. Sites are not an organizational boundary in terms of we have a branch office in London, we have a branch office in Paris, we have a branch office in New York. Those are not necessarily Active Directory Domain Services sites, depending on the speed of the links between those offices. Sites are associated with IP subnets, typically, and by default, as you're expanding out your Active Directory Domain Services to further sites, this will be created automatically. Used to manage replication traffic, used to manage client logon traffic, used by site-aware applications such as DFS or Exchange servers, and used to assign group policy objects to all users and computers in a company location, potentially. There's a big potentially on that one. Sites are defined based on network bandwidth, so that's what you're going to want to know ahead of time before you design any sort of site infrastructure. The primary reason, as I've mentioned, is WAN links and high-speed versus slow-speed WAN links. Now, to kind of tie all this together, we're going to get into logical components. We're going to talk about what it is we're creating when we create our first domain controller, when we create subsequent domain controllers. As I mentioned before, day zero is going to be a domain controller. You're going to create a domain controller in the first steps of implementing an Active Directory domain services infrastructure. When you do that, when you create that domain controller, the Active Directory domain services store and the information in it are based on this, the Active Directory Domain Services Schema. Defines every type of object that can be stored in the directory, enforces rules regarding object creation and configuration. There are some examples provided. There's a class, what objects can be created in the directory, for instance, a user or a computer. And then attached to those classes, there are attributes. Information attached to an object, a display name, a username, a computer name, a phone number. There are hundreds of attributes. We could be here all day. So now we get into the basics of these logical pieces, how they relate. I've already talked about a couple of these. I'm at this point going to go from the simplest to the most complex. Domain used to group and manage objects in an organization. When you bring up that first server and you're a local administrator and you deploy Active Directory, you're going to install the role. Then after that's done, you're going to run the tools to actually create a domain controller. This is what you're going to be creating. You're going to be building a domain. That domain is going to be part of a forest. That forest is going to contain a tree. That tree is going to be your domain for now. There are administrative boundaries for applying group policies and objects, a replication boundary for replicating data between domain controllers potentially, and an authentication and authorization boundary that provides a way to limit the scope of access to resources. As I mentioned, we're going to build on this. That domain that you're going to create is going to be part of a tree. For the sake of demos today, we're only going to have a single domain. We're not going to build out subdomains, as these are called. A domain tree is a hierarchy of domains in ADDS. All domains in a tree share a contiguous namespace with the parent, as you can see here on the slide. Contoso.com is our parent domain. EMEA.contoso.com and NA.contoso.com are our child domains or subdomains. This is a single tree. There can be additional child domains. Those child domains can be as deep or as wide as you'd like in terms of how many levels and how many domains you'd like to have. By default, create a two-way transitive trust with other domains. We haven't talked about trusts yet. But what this tells us is that any resources in any of these domains can access or can be accessed by, rather, accounts in those domains. I don't have to create anything, allow anything, specifically designate that users in na.contoso.com can access resources in contoso.com. It's automatic. We expand further. We've got a domain in a tree. We've got the tree in a forest potentially of multiple trees. A forest is a collection of one or more domain trees. Forests share a common schema, so the definition of our objects and their attributes are going to be the same across an entire forest. Share a common configuration partition. Share a common global catalog to enable searching. This one is important. We talked about global catalog servers before. It's when we get to the forest level the global catalog servers start to matter. If I'm a user in any domain, in any tree, in a given forest, and I want to find objects in Active Directory, I'm going to query the global catalog because the global catalog contains all of the objects in the domains, all of the domains, along with a subset of their attributes. So instead of me trying to find a user that could be in any one of these domains by searching through them iteratively one at a time, I'm just going to search the global catalog. Enable trusts between all domains in the forest. Again, it's automatic. If a user in this third tier child domain needs to access a resource in another tree, the trust exists all the way up through those domains and across to the other trees and then down through that hierarchy as well. The enterprise admins and schema admins groups are administrative groups with permissions to modify either domains, the forests, or the trees, and the schema itself. Enterprise admins and schema admins are administrators across an entire forest, as opposed to domain admins, which are just administrators across a single domain. Now, we've created this hierarchy, domain, tree, forest. We're going to jump down the other direction, and we're going to now subdivide our domain. And this is where it gets a little complicated. We'd mentioned a couple of slides ago that a domain is an administrative boundary. It's a way for you to group users and computers or objects in your organization together to be administered as a single unit. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's our smallest division. I can, within a domain, create organizational units to further divide those objects into administrative groups. A user used to represent your organization hierarchically and or logically. I should put and or here. There are a number of different criteria for creating organizational units. Manage a collection of objects in a consistent way. And I would almost say here, manage a collection of objects that are consistent with each other but not with other objects. If I have 10 users that I want to have a certain security rule applied to, but I don't want that rule applied to the rest of the users in my domain, I'm going to use an organizational unit to do it. Delegate permissions to administer groups of objects. This one is handy, especially in larger enterprises, much like here at Microsoft. If you have business groups defined in your organization, and those business groups have their own IT infrastructures, and they have their own administrators to manage those IT infrastructures, I can create organizational units. I can put users, computers, and other objects from those different organizations into those organizational units, and I can give rights to manage those objects to other administrators within those business unit IT departments. And apply policies. Again, this is the group policies we referenced. I'm not going to cover in any great depth yet today. Trusts, we've mentioned a couple of times. A trust provides a mechanism for users to gain access to resources in another domain. It's actually a pretty simple concept. If I'm in domain A, if I'm in contoso.com, and I want to access resources in domain B, na.contoso.com, in theory, that may not be possible. And I say in theory because according to Windows and how things are done in domains here, it is possible by default. It's only possible because by default, in a Windows forest, in Active Directory Domain Services, when you add domains to a forest, two-way transitive trusts are created by default. Users in contoso.com can access resources in na.contoso.com and vice versa, of course, according to the application of authorization to use those resources. But what it allows me to do as an administrator is I can go into a resource, I can right-click, I can go to properties, I go to the security tab. When I click add, I have available to me all of the resources across all of the domains in my forest to add to that resource. That isn't always the case. It hasn't always been the case even within Windows operating systems. And I can still, beyond the default trust created, create further trust to other domains, external domains potentially, or even create what are called shortcut trusts within my forest. Trusts are typically directional. The trust direction flows from trusting to trusted. And I'm going to try and put this in clearer terms. The trusting domain is the domain that contains resources. I have something someone else wants access to. For me to provide that access to that other domain is to trust that domain and its users to access my resources. So the trust flows from me to the other organization. Transitive trusts are not directional. Two-way transitive trusts are not directional. They flow both directions. The transitive part of a two-way transitive trust is much like some rules you learned in mathematics when you were younger, possibly junior high. If I'm in contoso.com and then I have na.contoso.com as a subdomain, and then I have sales.na.contoso.com as a further subdomain, the way two-way transitive trusts are created, or the transitive property of those trusts, is that if I trust NA and NA trusts sales, I trust sales. My trust of NA flows through NA to anything that they trust as well. And again, these are all two-way by default in Active Directory Domain Services. All domains in a forest trust all other domains in a forest. Trusts can extend outside the forest. Those can be established manually. This list is just a list of the objects available to us, a small set of the list of objects available to us in Active Directory Domain Services. Users are going to be probably one of the most familiar. If you've gotten into Active Directory, if you already manage Active Directory, or if you haven't, but you happen to have used a computer at any point in the last 10, 20 years, a user is going to be a pretty well-known concept. A user object is merely the representation of a user in Active Directory Domain Services and the attributes attached. Name, username, telephone, office, address, dozens and dozens of attributes. INET.org person is actually the standard, the X500, which is the protocol, the X500 standard is the standard upon which the protocol LDAP, Lightweight Directory Access Protocol, is built for communication between directory services. INET org person is the X500 standard representation of a user across any directory service. So this exists in Microsoft's Active Directory Domain Services as a means to communicate across product boundaries used for compatibility with other directory services. Contacts are just that, it's a contact card. This person has an email address outside our organization, we want to keep track of that. Groups, computers, printers, and shared folders, all concepts that are relatively straightforward. Groups, there can be some complication. That will be for another course in terms of the technical depth and explanation of groups, nested groups, scope of groups. We'll probably get to that in a future course. I'm going to jump into a demo. We're going to take a look at Active Directory Domain Services and its actual implementation. All right, so we're out of PowerPoint. We're into the demo environment. I have a server set up right here. It's been installed. The only configuration steps that I've taken ahead of time are to give it a name and an IP address. And that's it. We're starting from a clean slate. We're going to install the Active Directory Domain Services role. We do so by clicking on Add Roles and Features. This brings us into our wizard for all roles and features. I'm not going to skip this page by default just for the sake of the demo. This is something you'll see when you do this in your environment. We are doing a role or feature-based installation, so the default is the correct option. Server selection, we're doing this on the local server, which I've just named server. And the role we're installing, Active Directory Domain Services. As soon as I check that box, it's going to bring up this Add Roles and Features wizard. It's prerequisites. Microsoft has built the server manager to automatically detect prerequisites required when you're installing a given role, give those to you in a list to preview, and select to install. When I click Next, it's going to take me to the features installation page. This one wizard accommodates both roles and features essentially independently. In this case, some of these have been checked because of the requirement from the role selection screen. So we're just going to click Next. We're not going to select any additional features. Gives me a little overview of Active Directory Domain Services, what it does, what it is. Next, on the confirmation, we're installing the Active Directory Domain Services role. We're installing Group Policy Management and the Remote Server Administration Tools features. And we click Install. Now, as this installs, I'm going to relay a note that this does not create a domain controller. We're not creating a domain. We're not creating a forest. We're not creating any Active Directory Domain Services infrastructure. We're merely lighting up the bits that allow us to do so. So when this is done, we'll be able to then go on to that next step. One of the nice things about the new version of Windows Server, this wizard starts. I don't have to sit here and watch it. There's a note at the bottom. You can close this wizard without interrupting running tasks. I can close this and just wait for it to complete of its own accord in the background. I do get a flag up here that tells me this is running, and I can actually use it to check status. And we're going to wait just a moment for this to complete. As you can see, it doesn't take that long. It's 30 to 60 seconds, and you'll be done installing the Active Directory Domain Services role. Another nice feature of the new Server Manager, once this is complete, up here in this same window, we'll actually get a note, which you'll see in just a moment when it's done, letting us know that there are further configuration steps required to actually implement the Active Directory Domain Services role. Just installing the role as we've done isn't enough for it to actually be functional. So now we can come up here and we can see that our feature's installed. We're ready to move to next steps. installation succeeded. This is where things diverge a little bit. For anybody who's familiar with potentially older versions of Windows Server and the mechanisms for promoting domain controllers, you used to open up a run window or a command prompt and run DC promo. That doesn't work anymore. You now get this warning: the Active Directory Domain Services installation wizard is relocated in Server Manager. So up here, in Server Manager, once we've installed the role, if I can get the right one to come up, Tools, this is where all of our new management tools live. Manage, add roles and features, create server group. So once okay, so what I had to do, I forgot to refresh.
Okay.
So I'll just pick it back up with a note. After a quick refresh of the console, we come over here to the flag. So it would basically back up out of tools, out of manage. We'll pick up after the DC promo. This error comes up and go to, I'll do a quick refresh, and this status is going to change, and then our prompt is in here.
Whenever you're ready, we're just going to pick up a redo of this part of the demo.
Yep.
Whenever you're ready.
So after I close that warning telling me that I can no longer do DC promo the traditional way, I can run a quick refresh of my console. And what that will do is it will bring up a second task and a flag, or a notification on the flag, that lets me know configuration required for Active Directory Domain Services at server. And my link is now here, promote this server to a domain controller, which is our next step. It's good and bad these days that Microsoft makes a lot of things very easy, not quite as complex as it used to be. It may take a second to come up. And in this case, came up behind my other window, so here it is up front. This is very much a wizard. It's going to walk us through the process top to bottom. Select the deployment operation is first. We don't have an existing domain. We don't have an existing forest. So we have to create a new forest. So as I explained earlier from the domain up, we have to create this from the top down. Forest first, then, well, the tree sort of comes from the domain name we're going to give it. So root domain name, contoso.com. This gives us domain controller options. Forest functional level and domain functional level. We're not going to go into details of what those mean in this session. There will, again, be subsequent courses that go into great detail of those options. I'm going to give this a quick password real quick. What that password is in your environments obviously is up to you. Make sure to document all passwords adequately and securely. Domain name system server or DNS server and global catalog, these are options we're selecting. The DNS server is an option. I can uncheck it. Although in this case, I have not installed DNS ahead of time. So this domain controller has to have DNS installed and configured along with it to function correctly. The global catalog is not an option because this is our first domain controller for a new forest. It automatically has to be a global catalog. There is a warning at the top of the screen. A delegation for this DNS server cannot be created because the authoritative parent zone cannot be found or does not run Windows DNS server. We don't have a parent zone. We don't have any DNS in this case existing prior. In your existing environments and organizations, you may, and this server will be configured to find that DNS already, and this delegation can be created. So we're just going to click next through that. The NetBIOS name is going to be generated automatically. You can change it if you want. Depending on the domain name you've chosen, you may have to based on the length. In this case, Contoso is perfectly acceptable. We're going to accept that and move on to the next step. In this next one, I mentioned earlier that the data store, that file, ntds.dit, where it's stored is right here, c/windows/ntds. Same thing for the log file. This can be modified. There are a number of guidelines for putting this file on other volumes. It does have to be a local volume. It cannot be kept on a network. There are other criteria, rules, and considerations for moving it elsewhere. Again, we're not going to cover those in this. We're just going to go ahead and accept the defaults and put our ntds.dit on the C drive. We get one more quick glance at our options, what we've selected. One thing I haven't talked about and won't talk about too much in this course is PowerShell as an administrative tool for Active Directory Domain Services. As this course is more of an overview, we're not going into a lot of technical depth on the tools used to manage or manipulate Active Directory Domain Services, more just what it is. But if you're familiar with PowerShell, or you've seen or taken other courses that Microsoft provides, which we have plenty of on the topic, this button, View Script, will allow you to see an automatically generated PowerShell script for the promotion of this computer to a domain controller. This is a terrific tool if you're planning on promoting a number of computers to domain controllers and you want to automate that process. You run through it once by hand, you get your script, you add this to a script that somehow, through a number of different possible means, runs through a list of servers that you want to promote, and these options are already pre-populated for you. In this case, we're not going to use the script, we're just going to continue the wizard, hit next. It makes sure that all my prerequisites are met. I don't anticipate any problems with this step. Should not take very long either. Notice there is a notification at the bottom of the window. If you click install, the server automatically reboots at the end of the promotion operation. A domain controller promotion is a reboot required scenario. Couple of mentions, a couple of notifications. Windows Server 2012 have a default for security setting named Allow Cryptography Algorithms Compatible with Windows NT 4. We're not going to go into any details, just know that these are standard warnings. None of these are unexpected in this case. A delegation for this DNS server cannot be created. This is the same error we saw before. Prerequisites check completed and passed successfully. None of these are stopping errors. We're going to click install. And we're going to actually move to another virtual machine that already has this process done. Again, it's automated. There's not much I can do at this point. Not much I'm even going to see. It doesn't give me a lot of detail in this window. So we're going to switch over to another virtual machine on which this is already done. So Server Manager is already open. You can see I've got all the roles installed. We'll use this one as our functional demo after the installation of this on the other server. What your server is going to look like after Active Directory Domain Services has been installed, you're going to see this in Server Manager. We've got events related to ADDS. We've got servers on which this role is installed. In this case, it's just this one. Under Tools, we now have some new options. Active Directory Administrative Center, Active Directory Domains and Trusts, Active Directory Sites and Services, Active Directory Users and Computers, ADSI Edit. All of these are added through the process of installing the Active Directory Domain Services role and promoting this computer to, or this server to, a domain controller. Group Policy Management is also on that list. And that's it. Those are all of the ones installed right away. And what we're going to do is just a brief rundown of each of those tools, see what they do, how they function. There was actually some question on my team as I was preparing for this course whether or not I was going to use Server Manager that much, just because of the fact not everybody watching this course, maybe using Server 2012, and it's a lot different in 2012 than it was in prior versions. However, I'm going to just use multiple methods because it's what we have available to us, and everyone should know all of the ways to manage. One new tool in 2012, the Active Directory Administrative Center. This is a new centralized tool for managing our domain. As we've already seen in the tools menu, there are a number of tools installed. Microsoft is attempting to consolidate. Overview, this is one of the better changes in the new server manager. This gives me a lot of information about these tools right off the bat. Learn more, use the Administrative Center to manage IT tasks, use the Active Directory module for PowerShell, find answers on the Active Directory forums, Dynamic Access Control, a feature we're not going to talk much about here today, and the Microsoft Solution Accelerator to help configure Dynamic Access Control also goes with that last topic. Over here on the left, this, Contoso Local, is our domain. You now have a view of the domain you just created. For example, computers. Domain controllers, which we actually have, and users. For anybody who is familiar with Active Directory Domain Services or has installed Active Directory Domain Services or the prior Active Directory, these should look pretty familiar. These groups, most of these groups anyways, have been around for a long time. To look at some of the other versions of these tools, this allows us to do some things. Older versions of this might look a little bit different. In the new server, obviously we have a new interface on the desktop. We have our new start menu, but we do have familiar tools. Active Directory Users and Computers is the old snap-in for managing parts of your domain. You'll see some of the same options here we just saw. Computers, domain controllers, of which we have one, and users. We'll come back to that. I'm going to minimize it and look at it again in a minute. Active Directory domains and trusts. Doesn't seem like there's a whole lot to it. We only have one domain. We don't have any trust created because we only have one domain total. But it's in properties, but a lot of this tool's value comes out. This is where we would create or manage pre-created trusts between this domain and other domains. We talked briefly in the course about sites. Active Directory Sites and Services is a tool for managing sites. As mentioned, sites are created by default based on subnet. There is right here a site created, default first site name. This is always the name, hence the title, default first site name. Anytime you create an Active Directory domain, this is your starting point. These are the servers in that site. These are the settings that relate to that server in that site. If we go into properties, we see connections. This is where we'll see other servers, other domain controllers that we're replicating to and from. And then normal security and attribute editor object options for this as well. We're not going to be doing any demos involving multiple sites, but this is where you would manage that. All right, to close out this demo, I'm going to open up Active Directory Users and Computers. We're going to do a little bit of a comparison, old tools and new tools, as well as exploring really the meat of Active Directory and what it manages, or Active Directory Domain Services and what is managed, which is objects, users, computers, and the like. Here we have the old version, Active Directory Users and Computers, up on the screen. We're going to open up, double-click on this administrator account. and just look at the options available. Names, numbers, emails, organizational details, address, and then we get to account, a little bit of a technical tab. We have our logon names, we have logon hour restrictions, which, because this is the administrator account, it's a domain administrator account, I can't restrict. We have logon to, same thing, I can't restrict this because it's a domain administrator account, where I could restrict what computers this computer could actually log on to. I have account options. We're not going to go through all of these one at a time. It would take us far longer than we have for this course. But feel free, if you've followed along with this demo or if you've got an environment that you're in where you have access to this information, explore these tabs, what the options are, what they mean, and this really becomes the foundation of Active Directory Domain Services. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to close this, and we're going to look at the same information in the new tool. That Active Directory Administrative Center is now open. I've got my domain selected. I've got users selected, and this is the same list. And I can right-click, and there are actual tasks on here that I can do, or I can double-click, and it will open that object in another window, very similar to what we just saw with Active Directory users and computers. And a lot of the same options exist right here on this screen. Name, login details, UPN and SAM account, organization, display name, job title, email, address, member of, what groups I'm in, and I can enroll in membership to new groups, password settings, profile settings, again, options we saw, and then down here at the bottom under extensions, these are the tabs that were available in Active Directory users and computers that haven't been yet put into this new forms-based interface. So these are the remaining tabs, session information, remote control information. So the same options available. We've just changed how it's presented, made it a little bit easier, a little bit more consolidated. There's a lot more on this one screen than having to go through those first four or five tabs to get to all of this information at first. That is pretty much the end of the demo on Active Directory Domain Services. There is provided in this particular slide deck, there's a module review and takeaways that when you download this slide deck is going to be available to you. It's going to have review questions. It's going to have a summary of the topic discussed. That's not something we're necessarily going to go over in detail right now. And that sums up what we've done. And that sums up what we've covered so far with Active Directory Domain Services, how to install it, how to promote a domain controller, some of the basics of the structures involved, both logical and physical, and we've taken a look at the tools used to manage Active Directory Domain Services once it's installed. That's it for now, and we'll see you in the next module.